Hang on. Hello, hello. How's it going, guys? I just want to apologize for my behavior over. Oh, this thing's not gonna stay. I just want to apologize for my behavior this weekend over Nine Square. If any of you were part of it, it's not personal. It's just business. I need to figure out where to put this Bible. This thing's too dang heavy. That's fine. I'll just pull over here. So good weekend, huh, guys? I mean, it's exciting. Coming together, kind of in unity, joining as one, doing something together. It's exciting. But it can wear you out. I'm sure you guys are pretty tired. I know I got up kind of late at like 9:15, and half the dorm or the dudes are asleep. I'm like, yep, these guys are going to sleep pretty well tonight. I can only imagine it's the same thing for the ladies. But before we get started, I just want to kind of open us up in prayer, and we'll get going. So, Lord, I'd just like to thank you. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, dying for us, giving up his body, his blood for us, dedicating his life to one simple thing, service, sacrificial living. We thank you, Lord. It's because of that and what your Son has done that we are here today in celebration. We just like to thank you, Lord, and we love you. We pray this all in your name. Amen. So I don't know about you guys, but I kind of grew up with a lot of aspirations to be different things. I remember when I was a kid, I wanted to be what was called a builder. I had no idea what that looked like. All I knew is I liked building Legos. And as it kind of developed, I wanted to be a pro sport athlete. I didn't know what that looked like, a baseball player, maybe a basketball player, anything. I just wanted to do pro sports. And as this changed, you know, you kind of look up to people. You look up to people in the NBA. But one person in my life when I was growing up I looked to was a friend. And if you're from the area, I know there's a couple people from my hometown around here. One of my friends named Reed. The reason why I looked up to him is, I mean, he's an awesome guy. But he was a killer basketball player. And I was this cocky little sixth grader who thought I could ball, but couldn't. Could not at all. And so I saw him, and I saw him as this this person that, hey, if I wanted to complete my dream of being the NBA, MLB, NFL, I need to look like him. So I wanted to be like him. I wanted his success. He had all this basketball success. People acknowledged, wow, Reed's the best guy on the team. And, you know, people looked up to him. And I said, I kind of want that. I want to look like that. I want all that good, that not fame, but glory and recognition. This is what I want. But as I started growing closer with my buddy Reed, I started realizing this wasn't just because he was naturally talented or had an instinct for basketball. The dude put in some serious, serious work. I mean, I remember, again, I was seventh grade. You know, I'm just trying to shoot, like, after school, and you know, I'm practicing my free throws for like 10, 15 minutes. I'm like, okay, good. And I come to school and kind of talk to me like, yeah, you know, I went like 9 for 10 on free throws and then like 5 for 10 and then like 4 for 10, but I'm a 9 for 10. And he was like, yeah, I got up at like 6 a.m. this morning and started practicing. I'm like, what in the world? You're crazy. And I started realizing, I was like, man, I really want to be like him. And then I'd hear over and over and over, man, he's doing all this hard stuff. He's doing all this hard stuff. I'm like, I want to be like him, but I don't want to do this hard stuff. This hard stuff kind of inconveniences me. I don't want to get up at 6 a.m. and practice basketball. You know, but he was willing to do it. He was willing to put in that work, do the hard things. And as I kind of grow up and I start taking the relationship with the Lord a little more serious, I start to find the same attitude I had with Reed, I have with Jesus. I see these really, really cool things. I see, oh, God, you know, Jesus has such a reputation of love and mercy. And I see him doing miracles. You know, he like healed the sick, like, bam, someone's eyes. You know, I was like, I want that. That'd be sweet. You know, here's all these really cool things that I want. I want to look like Jesus, right? That's what we're called to as Christians. If we're little Christ, we're supposed to be looking like Christ as Christians. I want to look like him. But as I read and as I grow older and older, and I'm not that old, but it's such an apparent message, the message of God or Jesus and how he values community is one of those things that I look at and I start saying, that's hard. That's really hard. And you guys, oh, that's not hard. That's not hard for me. Yeah, community is fun when we're kind of getting all together and having fun and doing competitions. But the way Jesus did community isn't like what we see community in the world. It isn't like what we see in most churches. This conviction increased even more so a year ago. If you guys have your Bibles, I'm going to be in 1 Corinthians 11. This conviction started growing and increasing in me all the more about Jesus and how he values community. I'll be verse 23 and reading through 28. It says, "For I received the Lord, what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord.'" And this is one of the things I really want to drive home. Verse 28. "Let a person examine himself then, and so eat the bread and drink of the cup." I know you guys might say, what's Elijah talking about with communion and God's community and him being convicted by it? We're so routine to drinking, you know, this cup. You know, we drink it and we eat this bread, and it's just kind of automatic. It's something we just assume. Oh, we do it either every week at our church or once a month. But this cup and this piece of bread is not just a cup and a piece of bread. This is God valuing his community so much that he says, "Guess what? I came on this earth to give up my life." This represents community. This represents Jesus' sacrifice for his community. He loved him so much that he gave up his body and his blood for us. And we just kind of take it, we say, "Oh, you know, it's just a piece of bread and it's drink, you know, thank you, Jesus, you know, I'll do better." But when we partake in this, it's not just we're doing it together. This is a calling to look like Jesus in the hard things. You know, it's a calling to when we go back home and it's not so easy doing all this kind of fun, competitive activities. This is a calling when you get a call at 2 a.m. and a buddy's crying and you can either pick up the phone or you don't. This is a calling when, you know, your buddy's mom has cancer and it's 12 a.m. and you have a big test the next day and you say, "Well, God would want me to study, you know." This is a calling. And I find myself not taking it serious enough, not examining myself and saying, "Am I portraying this in my walk? Am I living like Jesus, giving up my body for community?" And I don't want this to turn into one of those kind of hurrah speeches that say, "Oh, we're gonna go change the world," and you know. But look what Jesus did, and that's why we're here. Like, one man's actions led to this 2,000 years later. I mean, we don't see this at all in history because of the power of what he did, how he valued community. It wasn't just a dude that was healing people, boom, and then, you know, having really cool messages, and people are like, "Yeah, I learned a lot from that." No, the thing why we are here is because of how much God valued his community. More, you know, Jesus, you guys ever seen that picture on the back? Like, he's got a mullet, Jesus mullet. Like, we don't see other figures in history just like, "Hey, this is what he looked like. Let's put a mullet on him." Like, he has a mullet because he is so widespread. Like, I mean, look at this picture. You know, it's like he is so popular 2,000 years later because of this one conviction of life of living sacrificially for others. But I find myself so many times after you get done with a retreat, Especially the last message is kind of that, you know, hurrah. But that motivation only lasts so long, right? I mean, you go and it's exciting, and you go home, and you're like, yeah, I feel passionate, I feel energetic for 2-3 days. And that kind of fades, and it kind of fades, and then you find yourself getting back in the routine of things. And I love so much of what Steve said. I don't know if you guys remember that example yesterday about the speed limit. When he said, hey, the law, right? The law is to follow the speed limit. But until there's someone else, there's value on the other side of that, it doesn't bring so much value. Once someone's on the other side, it changes things. I don't want to speed in a 30 when my son's in there. And this is kind of what happens with us. We need to be motivated by the gospel. And what I mean by that, and Pete kind of illustrated in his message, you know, being motivated by the gospel is understanding that there's nothing you can do. There's nothing that we did to deserve this. I remember at the age of 15, I went to church my entire life, and I did all these things. I participated in communion. I tried to give up my life and for community, but it wasn't until I was about 15 years old that the gospel became real to me. Transformed me. Like now, when I'm asked to give things up in community, when I'm asked to take a call, when I'm asked to go to the hospital, I'm not saying, man, I got to do this because I have to, because Scripture says so. But what other option do I have? That's how I feel now. What else can I do when the Lord Jesus, the one whose image I am made in, I mean, I have a nose and I have eyes because Jesus has a nose and eyes. I'm made in his image. And the one whose image I was made of, who made this, the moon and stars we made last night, came to this earth and said, hey, Elijah, your stains are filthy and they are many. But I'm going to die on the cross. I'm going to give up my body so I can stay in communion with you in eternity. What other option do I have? This isn't a burden at which I hold and say, man, I have to live sacrificially. I have to give up my time. I have to do this, and I've got to look like Jesus even in communion. Jesus did this for me. What other option do I have? We hear the phrase, it's better to give than receive, and usually we think about this kind of around Christmas. And we say, oh, well, I kind of think of that verse or that kind of proverb as, you know, it's better to give Christmas gifts than to receive them. But does this apply to what we're doing with our lives? Is it better to give your life for others than is to take your own life for yourself? It's tough. And if I'm honest, I don't want to do that all the time. It's hard. It means dreams given up. It means my plans are in surrender for a bigger purpose. It's tough. But when we take this piece of bread and this drink, it's something more. This isn't just between you and God. This is between God, you, and everyone here. This is a commitment to each other. This is a commitment to live for each other. This is a commitment to sacrificial living for each other. So if the band wants to come up, they can. But as we go through this, I really want you guys to kind of sit and meditate. I know you usually do, but in a different lens. Not approaching and saying, oh, am I right with God? Is everything in line? But I want you to examine yourself like it says, let him examine himself. Are we living for each other? When we go home and it's not so easy, are we giving up our time? Are we giving up our effort? Are we giving up our money? And I'm not, this isn't me talking to you. This is, half of this is me preaching to myself saying, come on, Elijah, buy into it. It's struggle. I know, trust me, I know. I'm selfish. But there's something powerful about this, about giving your life for someone else. It's better to give than to receive. And so you guys will all be dismissed, the right side, or I guess you guys, it's your left. There's some cups and some bread. And this side, there's some cups and bread on there. And you're free to grab the cup and the bread when you feel ready. But I would encourage you, don't take it right away. This is about something that's a commitment. It's about giving your life up for each other. It's tough, I know. But as I find I keep surrendering my life for others, I keep doing this, and even though I hold on to it sometimes and say, God, I don't want to give up, fine, I'll give it up. Every time, it pays out tenfold. So I just want to encourage you guys, take some time, reflect. Are we living for each other when we go home? Are we living like Jesus? Do we look like him? You guys are free. When you feel ready to grab the elements and take it on your own timing.